This week, we discuss why sports leagues have an opportunity to deepen engagement and earn more revenue online, and why connected TV growth stalled in Q4 2019, but why it's sure to recover. Let's get started.
This week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. This is Will Richmond from Video News, and Colin Dixon from End Screen Media is with me as always. Hey there, Colin.
Hi, Will. How are you doing?
Well, I'm feeling healthy, which is, I suppose, a good thing in this week of coronavirus dominating the news. It's a little bit hard to understand what's what here with the media coverage, but I guess if we're healthy, then we have to be happy, right?
I think that's probably true, Will. I know that I just saw Facebook cancelled its conference, its Facebook users thing that it does. Of course, we have Mobile World Congress cancelled earlier, but let's hope that NAB doesn't fall afoul of this. And I'm doing something in London next month at Connected TV, MediaTel's Connected TV, and that doesn't get cancelled because I'm really looking forward to it.
Yeah, well, good luck to those guys, and I'm personally and a little more selfishly focused on my June 11th Connected TV Advertising Summit, which is in New York, and certainly hope that we're not talking about coronavirus at that point, but even if we are, then New York is still lots of people, and certainly want you to be there as well. Hopefully you'll be there.
I will certainly be there. Of course I'll be there, Will.
Hopefully we're not at a point where there's literally no travel happening. Let's not even talk about that as an option. But let us get started with today's podcast. We have we're actually focusing on research again today. We do like to do that periodically. There were a couple of things that hit our radar screen this week. The first is from a new set of data from Verizon Media that is focused on live sports streaming. So you're going to get us started with that, and then I'm going to talk about some latest CTV connected TV research that was from Extreme Reach this week. So why don't you go ahead and get started?
I sure will. And yeah, this came out this week, and it's available for free. And we'll both include links to the research that we talk about today in our postings on our websites. So this is a sports leaders report, and I think what Verizon was really trying to get at here is figure out where sports fans were, particularly with online streaming. And so they basically talked to 5,000 people that say that they are sports fans in the US, UK, France, Germany, and Netherlands. And so the data I'm going to talk about is actually for all five countries together. So this is not US data alone. So it's all of those countries together. So keep that in mind. But I wanted to get a rough idea of how many people do identify as sports fans. And I was surprised. Gallup did a survey and they said that 6 in 10 people in the US, 6 in 10 adults in the US identify themselves as sports fans. I thought that was a very high number. So anyway, that just gives you an idea, a basis for some of the data that's going to be thrown around here. Because I tell you, Will, I was really surprised. Verizon says that 53% of those 5,000 people that they talk to pay an extra fee for access to premium live sports programming through their pay TV provider or through some streaming service provider. So I guess, you know, that means they're subscribing to Sunday Ticket through DirecTV, or they're subscribing to MLB.com, or you can get Eurosport a la carte in Europe and stream that. So I guess those are the types of services. And the data goes on, and it basically says that like half of respondents said that they subscribe to a live sports streaming service to get access to sports that they're not available on television. So it looks like what people are doing, what sports fans are doing, is they're really enjoying the fact that stuff that's showing up online, which is not available in their whatever they had before, is really allowing them to extend their interests in sports. So I thought that was a really interesting, and that's a really high number. So I don't know if we haven't really seen anybody sort of put some bounds on how popular sports are online, but that really tells you there's a ton of people out there who are watching a lot of sports and streaming. Streaming has already become a very big part of their interest. And in fact, mobility is a really important driver as well, because 2 in 5 of these folks said that they subscribed to get mobile access. I don't know about you, but I have watched plenty of games on my phone. When there's a really big game, like a World Cup game or something like that, I'm totally down with watching on my phone. So I thought that was kind of interesting. The other thing that sort of popped up, there were two other things that popped up out of the research that I thought was really interesting. The first is that we really need some ad innovation. There's a lot of those sports fans that say that they're really not that keen on the ad loads that we see. So when asked what feature was most important in the way they watch sports today, 2/3 said that they use their DVR. And of those, most said that they were skipping ads using their DVR. And 4 in 5 said that they expected a live streaming service to offer something a different experience than traditional TV. And, you know, really, we're talking about heavy ad loads here. For more than half, getting away from the heavy ad loads was really important. And, you know, 29% said that they wanted ads more personalized. So what this sort of tells me, Will, is that, and I know this is true for me, my expectations when I come online are a little bit different than when I watch on traditional TV. And I do expect a lower ad load, or maybe to be advertised to in a different way. So I thought that was really interesting. The other thing I thought was really interesting was what people were looking for in their services. And they found that actually quite a lot of the survey respondents said that they were only somewhat satisfied with the coverage that they get. Only 37% said that their needs were covered to a great extent. The rest were either somewhat satisfied or not satisfied. And that's a real opportunity, I think, for sports leagues and particularly for leagues, because they followed up with a question that I thought was really revealing. They said that they asked sport fans, what would motivate you to subscribe to a service? And most people, 56%, said it was to get complete coverage of a league. And only 23% said it was to get more access to a specific team. So I think what this tells you is the folks that sports fans, one of the characteristics is that they really step outside of just their own particular interest, that is, i.e. their team. And what they're really interested in is all of the teams in the league. They're not just interested in following one that they may particularly favour. So, you know, I thought this data was really interesting. It shows that there's plenty of opportunity, particularly for leagues, I think, to step up here and augment what they're doing, their licensing through traditional channels, traditional TV channels, to expand their audience and expand their revenue. So really interesting data, I think.
Yeah, you've mentioned a bunch of different numbers there, Colin. I guess, you know, the first big number that you mentioned that kind of caught my eye, and I have to concede I have not had a chance yet to read this report, although I did read your write-up on it, is the idea that 53% of sports fans are saying that they're subscribing to some additional service, and you certainly mentioned the range of different ones. That's a number that is higher than I would have expected, and I'm not sure what I would have expected exactly, but I mean, I think about Sunday Ticket, which has never, to my knowledge, the exact number of subs has never been broken out, but it's estimated to be around 2 million. So if there are now about 80 million subscriber pay TV subscribers in the US and there are 2 million Sunday Ticket, that gets you to about 2.5%. That's obviously a long ways away from 53%. So you mentioned all the other potential services that people could be subscribing to. That's a lot of different services that people have to be picking up either through their pay TV provider or through some type of a streaming option, which is probably becoming more and more prevalent. So that 53% definitely caught my attention. I think the DVR number also that you mentioned is interesting and also kind of related, I think, to your other point about the ad experience and ad innovation. I don't consider myself a real sports fan in the sense of other people I know that are just absolutely glued to what's going on Saturdays and Sundays. But, you know, I do like to watch a bit. And it really is more jarring to go from watching an ad-free entertainment service like a Netflix or an Amazon to then go back and watch live sports with the sheer number of interruptions that are happening and the just the breakup of the momentum of the experience. So I'm not that surprised that two-thirds of people, I think is the number you said the report mentioned, are using their DVR and then are lagging watching live. Even in this world of social media and trying to stay unaware of what's happening in the live world, that's a pretty big number, two-thirds of people saying that they're willing to not watch live, watch via DVR primarily to avoid the ads. That feels like a pretty big number to me. And the last one that you mentioned, you're talking about how people are not just interested in their teams, but interested in the leagues. I may be completely conjecturing on this one, but I think that has everything to do with fantasy involvement and how rabid people have become about following individual players and putting their teams together rather than just focusing on their hometown favorite team. So my sense is that fantasy has been the big boon in terms of the league-wide interest. What do you think?
No, I think you could be really right there. Well, I've been surprised at how popular fantasy has gotten, and I bet that is playing in a lot there. But, you know, there's a couple of things that you said that I really think are pretty interesting. So one of the issues here is, of course, you know, you're right. If you're a big sports fan, buying lots of subscriptions from lots of different leagues, that becomes very, very unmanageable. And it made me think that maybe Bob Iger, when he came up, when he and his team came up with the idea for ESPN Plus, which is sort of this umbrella thing that helps you can come into and see some sports and subscribe to others. Maybe that's a really good approach, and maybe that will catch on, and that's an area for growth for Disney. And the other thing that you said was, you know, this, you were relating the VCR ad skipping to the fact that people were expecting a different ad experience. And I totally agree with that. I think, you know, when you think about the ad load in a football game, I personally find it unwatchable. In a regular Sunday game, there's only so many beer ads I want to see. There's only so, you know, there's so many pizza commercials. I'm one of those people that record the game, and I tend to watch it, you know, 2 hours delayed so that I can skip through the ads. And actually, frankly, skip through some of the injuries, because sometimes that can take 2 or 3 minutes to resolve itself if it's, you know, that's very common. And I think, you know, the interesting thing is that there was another stat that they said that they asked about how would you prefer to see your ads? And, you know, nearly a third of people said that they would prefer to see on-screen ads such as banners. And I think that sort of approach that doesn't interrupt the action but still lets a commercial message get over to consumers, I think they'll probably embrace that much more strongly than breaking away for a video ad. So, you know, I like this data. It's really interesting data. It shows that there's plenty of room for improvement, and also plenty of room for the sports leagues to actually expand their coverage, reach new people, and earn new revenue. So it's very, very interesting data.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
I was just to say, I hear you on all that. And one innovation that I would mention. And I watch a fair amount of professional golf. I'll fully admit that. I know I will take lots of grief for saying so, but yes, there it is. But one thing that they do is, I think it's called the playing through format, where basically you have two windows, and one window the ads are running, and the other window you're watching the action, such as, you know, the word action can be used when applied to professional golf, but that's another story.
Yeah.
You know, goes on. I mean, if it's late in the day and it's the leaderboard is separated by a stroke or it's all even, the last thing you want to do is be watching commercials. So they've created this sort of dual window format, which I think is actually very effective. And I don't know if that's, I don't watch enough baseball or football or basketball. Is that sort of format now used, to your knowledge?
Well, I'm probably not a good example here, because I'm not one of these people that subscribe to another one of these services. Well,
yeah,
but I know one of the things I know that they're using quite a lot in soccer these days is they're using windows.
Okay.
So they'll sort of shrink the action, the main window, down to about, I'd say it probably occupies, you know, they basically wrap it in an L-shaped banner. And I'll be honest with you, doing that by me is fine, provided they don't do it when, you know, when the fast action is occurring. If they're doing it when they're setting up for a free kick or something like that, that's totally fine, and I'm totally happy with them doing that. So yeah, plenty of room for ad innovation, I think.
Yeah, and I guess I was just thinking out loud here, one distinction between the major sports, basketball, football, et cetera, is they all have timeouts or natural breaks, like,
yep,
you know, change of an inning, whatever. There is no break in golf. There are dozens of players out there. You know, by Sunday afternoon, you only care about a half dozen or so at the most, but there are no breaks. So playing through ad format makes a lot of sense. But I guess I would just say, at a broader level, I think that there's a lot of ad innovation happening already, and there's going to be a lot more of it coming. So when you mentioned banners as an idea, that feels sort of quaint and retro. Maybe it's effective after all is said and done, but I think there are a lot of other types of ad formats that are coming,
sure,
down the pike. And that sort of leads, I think, into the second part of the discussion, which we'll only just touch on here briefly. And that's research that came from Extreme Reach this week, which I wrote about, that connected TV ad impressions were at 47% in Q4 2019. And I thought, more broadly speaking, indicated that they're settling out at about 50% of ad impressions, give or take, in the past year. If you look at the Extreme Reach data, they were 47% in Q4, 51 in Q3, 50 in Q2, 49 in Q1. And then you go back to Q4 18, they were 44. So they're up year over year from 44 to 47%. I was kind of expecting an increase in CTV ad share in Q4 19, but it didn't happen. Having said that, I still think that CTV ad share is only going in one direction, which is up. And there are all kinds of reasons to believe that, not least of which is the services coming from Peacock, HBO Max, the Viacom CBS House of Brands strategy. On and on the list goes. There's just more content that's becoming available online, direct to consumer, in an ad-supported or a hybrid ad-supported subscription way. So I think impressions only continue to go up, and that's before talking about all the additional CTV devices and smart TVs that are being activated every day. So I think all that is good news. And from a CTV perspective, which of course I'm a big fan, and folks know that, as I said at the beginning, June 11th, we're going to be doing our Connected TV Advertising Summit in New York. There's a lot of really, I think, interesting stuff to explore from both an opportunity and a challenge perspective. But just tying back to what you were saying, what we were talking about before, the Verizon Media sports coverage, I think as more sports is consumed via CTV, which is fundamentally a digital platform where the action can be augmented with all kinds of digital information and interactivity, for that matter, I think the experience for sports fans is only going to get better. So if the number today, as Verizon is saying it is 53% of sports fans are subscribing to another service, I think there's probably good reason to believe that with all the innovation, both in content and in the ad side, that that 53% could be 65% or 70% within a few years. Who knows? It's only going to get better from here, from my perspective.
Yeah, I totally agree. I mean, I'm pretty sure that the majority of viewing of those streaming services is still on a television. You know, mobility is clearly a very important facet. I mean, that certainly shows up in the Verizon data. But CTV still is, I think, probably the dominant platform, the platform when people want to watch. Now, I was kind of surprised to see the share fall slightly, Will. And I guess we'll have to wait and see what we see in some of the other data that gets passed around about CTV and CTV advertising over the next months, and see if that's borne out by that. One of the things that I'm really looking forward to seeing, and fingers crossed, that relating back to this coronavirus, that the Olympics don't get cancelled this year. Mm. But assuming they don't, that could be really interesting. I can't wait to see how the CTV versus other platform viewing data breaks out from that. Because the Olympics are in Japan. So that's going to, I think Japan's like 17 or 16 hours out of sync with us. So that will make a lot of the events at very odd times of the day, when people are not very close to their connected TV, and be really interesting to see how much viewing takes place on mobile devices when people are at work and traveling around. So I think we could see some very interesting data for that. I guess it would be it's July, August, July. Right? So yeah. It'll be the end of Q4? No, beginning of Q3.
Q3.
Yeah. So it'd be really interesting to see if that impacts the Q3 numbers and see what happens there. So that will give us a strong indication if the live streaming sports is taking place mostly on the TV, or, you know, if this mobility thing is one of the things that is maybe taking a little bit away from connected TV's dominance.
Well, I would say even at a higher level, boy, I hope that we are not going to be talking about the Olympics being canceled because of the coronavirus. That would really be something. And I'm sort of hoping that it'll be contained, or at least managed to a point where they don't feel they need to cancel the Olympics, because that'd be pretty seismic for everybody. But I'll just say, I think from a CTV standpoint, that if the Olympics go on, which, as I say, certainly hope they will, and we know that the election is going to go on this year, that's not going to get interrupted. Those two events, the election and the Olympics, I think are both really big drivers for CTV audience this year. So I don't know why, I don't think anybody really knows why it blipped down just a little bit in Q4, and we'll see what the other research has to say. But I think the macro trend is still up and to the right from my perspective.
Yeah, I do too. And, you know, that's why I think probably waiting for some more data is probably the right thing to do here. So anyway, I think we're pretty much out of time, Will.
I think we are, Colin. So stay well. And to all of our listeners, stay well also. It's a little bit of an unnerving time right now. I'm trying to stay optimistic that this thing's going to get contained sooner rather than later.
Me too.
All right, Colin, good chatting as always. Thanks, everyone, for listening in on this week's edition of the Video News End Screen Media Podcast. And we will see you all again next week.